Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2013. Hope you are having a very good day, preparing for a good weekend. We are live each weekday, noon to 1, right here on the home of the Buckmaster Show. It's AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the program through our podcast program, where we make it very easy for you to hear the program on your schedule. We're on three locations: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. And our friends at the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, gvnews.com, have us prominently displayed with a link on their homepage, also a link on the homepage of blogforarizona.com. We thank all of our partners of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up in this noon hour, we always look forward to our monthly chats about health with Dr. Victoria Mazes of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. 30 minutes past the hour, we will preview this year's Earth Day Festival in the city of Tucson. Then we'll close out the show with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, one-time Superintendent of the Year here in Arizona. And we are going to be discussing the difficulty facing TUSD and as they again have to search for a new superintendent. And they have had to do that every 2 years for the past 10 years. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Mazes about any of these health issues that we will be discussing, our Buckmaster Show Live line welcomes you at 790-2040. Joining me in studio is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She's the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, which was founded by Dr. Andrew Weil, who, by the way, will be our guest for a half an hour on the show on Monday at 12:30. He'll be joining us. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family and community medicine, and public health at the University of Arizona, in addition to facilitating the growth of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She helped develop its curriculum and pioneered what has become a national model for including integrative medicine in the education of primary care physicians. She's the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Her latest book, Doing Very Well, is titled Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes, good to see you.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
And the book is doing well, isn't it?
Yes, it's very exciting. I've started to get some emails from women who have successfully used some of the recommendations, and it's helped them conceive.
Well, that must make you feel very good.
It makes me feel great.
Makes it very worthwhile. We've talked over the years about antibiotics and how they are greatly overprescribed. Well, a new report from the Centers for Disease Control really affirms this. This report is the first one that has gone by state looking at usage of antibiotics, and it finds that in the South, antibiotics are widely prescribed. But here in Arizona, we're a little bit below the national average, which is the good news.
Well, it's good news, but it's not such good news, because it turns out that there were 258 million prescriptions written for antibiotics in 2010. And that essentially means that 4 out of 5 Americans, 80% of our population, were prescribed an antibiotic. And everybody agrees that that's too much.
Yeah, that really, it's just, it's unbelievable how many antibiotics are being prescribed. This story from the Associated Press, they quoted a professor of pharmacy practice at the University of Illinois in Chicago, and his quote was, "It sounds high, but to you, I don't think it's – to me, it, I mean, it I guess he's inferring that perhaps that's not accurate.
Well, I think there are a few problems. One is that we have growing rates of antibiotic resistance, and the CDC has now tracked at least 20 strains of resistant bacteria to antibiotics. What this means is that you could become ill with a bacterial infection, and we might not be able to find an antibiotic that can work, and you almost go back to the time before penicillin, when there was no effective treatment. This is due to overuse in humans. It's also due to overuse in animals. You and I have spoken in the past that 70 to 80% of the antibiotics used in this country are actually used in animals, sometimes for growth promotion in animals, sometimes because the crowding and the very poor conditions the animals are raised in predispose the animals for more infections.
Well, I really wonder how much of this is the patient saying, well, they've paid the money, their copay or whatever, for their visit with their physician, and they expect, if they go in to see the doctor, expect to get some kind of a pharmaceutical solution.
That certainly could be. And we, as physicians, really need to take responsibility for educating people perhaps about some of the downside of antibiotics. So sometimes people have allergic reactions. We know that it alters the microbiome, which is the normal gut bacteria that are so responsible for digestion and can actually alter the permeability of the intestinal lining, which means that particles that shouldn't get through sometimes do get through and can set somebody up for all kinds of problems. The other thing is, from an integrative medicine perspective, there are non-pharmaceutical approaches that one could use. So if someone comes in with a virus, and you're pretty sure it's a virus, and the patient is desperate to do something, we know that zinc lozenges, for example, can shorten the duration of a viral upper respiratory infection. We know that echinacea can shorten. We know that there are herbs like elderberry, which can help the body fight infection, and is very helpful, again, for upper respiratory infections. There are anti-inflammatory herbals that can be used. There are immune-supporting, like astragalus, which comes from traditional Chinese medicine, which help prevent infections. So there are many, many things beyond a prescription for antibiotics, which has some significant risks both to the individual patient and to our population at large as we get antibiotic resistance that could be offered.
790-2040, 790-2040. Before I bring up another health topic, I want to do a quick mention about you will be speaking at the University of Arizona Bookstore April 24th. You're going to be doing a talk beyond organics. We've talked a lot about organics, and your talk is going to be at the UA Bookstore on the 25th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What will the theme of the beyond organics? What are you going to be addressing?
Well, I am a huge proponent of organic and very grateful that it exists, very grateful that there are strict standards. But the standards essentially help you avoid pesticides and GMO. They don't really help you avoid other chemicals that arise in the packaging, for example. We've talked about BPA, bisphenol A. We've talked about phthalates that are in the plastics. It also doesn't avoid what happens through production. So, for example, you may have cows and organic milk, but then the milk is run through plastic tubing and it's sold in a plastic bottle. And so you end up with the environmental chemicals. It doesn't deal with the fact that some of our soil and our water is contaminated, and organic standards don't necessarily correct for all of that. And so I want to talk about where we as a society might go next.
And again, if you would like to come out and say hello to Dr. Mazes, April 25th, the UA Bookstore, and that will be at 5 o'clock in
right,
the afternoon.
Right, and by the way, it's free of charge.
Good point.
Good to register, but it's free of charge, and there'll be two other University of Arizona speakers. We'll each speak for about 10 minutes, so this is not a long lecture. These are short, to-the-point talks. Dr. Chuck Raison and Dr. David Armstrong will also be speaking.
And probably your book will be available.
I hope so.
If someone is interested in getting an autographed copy of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child, bring your book or purchase a book and have Dr. Mays assign it. Well, this is a good point to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about some latest findings concerning red meat. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show as we continue with our conversation with Dr. Victoria Mays on this Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
This is John Fina.
You're...
This is Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
I'm Bruce Peek.
Hey there.
This is Andy Brown.
Great to see you.
Hi, this is Bert Williams.
I thought I just saw you at...
This is Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Jerry Fitzgerald.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
This is Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
This is Rita Marshall.
I didn't know you were coming.
This is Bill Huss.
Can I get you anything?
Hi. Richard White.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back. back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:19 on this Thursday afternoon. We have Dr. Victoria Mazes with us. Dr. Mazes with the Executive Director of the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, the latest news about red meat and the development of heart disease, something that particular link has been long recognized. Now there's a new player, something called a nutrient called L-carnitine.
Carnitine.
That's a supplement that people, a lot of people have been using.
It is true. Some people do take it as a dietary supplement, and they take it as a dietary supplement for all kinds of different reasons, ranging from having an error of metabolism to people who are on dialysis, people who have myopathies. It's even used for male infertility. So it's used for all sorts of conditions. But it happens to be present in large quantities in red meat and to some extent also in fish, poultry, and dairy foods.
So it's just it's in those particular meats.
Right, exactly. And
it's not something that's added to the meats.
No, it's not added.
This is naturally
an amino acid that's naturally in those foods. And, you know, for a long time we've known that meat increases your risk of heart disease. It also increases your risk of a variety of kinds of cancer, breast, pancreatic, colon. But when the saturated fat got de-vilified, like it's probably not the saturated fat in the cholesterol in meat, it was a little confusing about, well, what is the player? And the researchers here at the Cleveland Clinic actually found that it could be the L-carnitine that's in meat that increases the risk for heart disease by interacting with bacteria in the microbiome in the gut and increasing the rate of atherosclerosis. Kind of complicated.
It is kind of complicated. And how were they able to come to these conclusions?
Well, they did an interesting set of studies. They looked both at rodents. Those are always a bit easier to study because you could easily decide what feed you're giving them. And they gave them either a vegetarian feed or a meat-based, animal protein-based feed, and found there was more atherosclerosis. And they also did human studies where they studied people who are vegetarian or vegan as opposed to people who are regular meat eaters. And what they found is that the vegetarian and vegan people had a much, much lower risk of heart disease. But even when they were given the carnitine, they didn't have the same amount of this byproduct called trimethylamine nitrous oxide, and they were less likely to create this atherosclerotic plaque-forming situation. So when you eat a lot of meat, you change your microbiome. You change the environment in your gut in a direction that increases your risk of heart disease.
And when you say a lot of meat, excessive meat eating would be how many servings
a
week?
Well, that's a really important question that I don't know.
And if you do like meat, and I like meat. I like meat occasionally. If I do like a steak, I would do a I like filet. Yeah.
Right.
So maybe 4 to 6 ounces, something like that.
Well, you know, that would be a moderate portion. And then the question is how many times a week?
Wow.
You know, there are there is controversy about this. Lots of people are eating a lot of meat right now because of the paleo diet and that whole fad. But for example, the American Institute for Cancer Research came out with a recommendation some years ago that said limit consumption of red meat such as beef, pork, and lamb. Avoid all processed meat because of the production increases the risk of some of the carcinogenic chemicals. And they said not more than 18 ounces of red meat a week. So if you were having 6 ounces portions, then 3 times a week. And that's their recommendation in terms of greatly reducing.
That sounds sensible.
Right. I mean, but of course, some people like meat at every meal.
Yeah. And there are those. And you brought up this for want of a better word, kind of the nickname, this caveman diet.
Yes, the caveman diet.
Which I happen to know someone that is doing that, and this particular person, she just really swears by it. And they eat, the people on this diet, as you know, they eat meat with pretty much every meal.
Yes. So in the paleo diet, people attempt to relive the diet of hunter gatherers, and
the
so
of
before
old.
Right, exactly, before agriculture, and what makes that different from example the Atkins diet is it means you eat things you could have hunted or berries and fruits, things you could have gathered.
No wheat,
no grains at all, exactly. And so people are eating a lot of meat on that diet. Now, remember that the meat that we get at the store is very different from what you would have hunted, which would have been very lean meat. And also, it looks like when people originated, they ate a lot of fish. And almost every study suggests that fish is healthy for us.
Let's have you slip your headset on here so you will be able to hear. Liz is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Liz.
Oh, this is Linda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. The comment that I want to make was I noticed there's a real, it seems like a real upswing in the grilling mode of cooking the meat. And I'm wondering now, going with the paleo diet, I would think that they would have done it over stone, a different form of cooking way back then. Can you comment on that? Okay. And I'll listen to you off air.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
Well, that's a great point that the way in which the meat was actually served, I mean, I don't know to what extent people actually ate the meat raw, to what extent it was necessarily always cooked. But when we cook meat now, we know, especially if it's burnt, that we are creating in that cooking process heterocyclic amines, which are chemicals that form when you burn meat that actually increase the risk of cancer. And so we recommend that people not eat their meat well done or burnt because of these heterocyclic amines.
So you would suggest perhaps medium, not a charred.
Well, right, meat. Definitely not charred. And then, of course, you know, if you're baking something, if you're, you know, cooking it in liquid where it's not going to get burnt. But the other interesting thing is that there was a study about 6 months ago that came out that showed if you ate your spinach together with your meat, it actually offset that higher risk of the heterocyclic amines. So eating greens with the meat appears to reduce that risk.
I like spinach. A lot of people don't. But
Yes, some people don't like the taste, yes.
But it actually does go very well if you are having a steak or something. Spinach is fine with me on the side. Now, you're a big, speaking of diets, a big proponent of the Mediterranean diet. There's some meat that's involved in that diet.
So there is some meat in the Mediterranean diet, but very little. It's really consumed primarily as a feast food. And I think it would be wonderful for us to consider in our own lives and in our own diets the foods we might eat on feast days, the way we do on Thanksgiving or Christmas or other holidays, where we might really eat rich food, eat abundantly, maybe even overeat a bit, but that not be our day-to-day eating pattern. And so while I personally don't eat meat, I don't say that everyone has to go off of meat, but perhaps to think about it more as a feast food, a special occasion food, as opposed to something that shows up at every meal.
But you do fish.
Yes, I do eat fish. I very much follow a more of a Mediterranean-style diet, and fish, of course, is a very wonderful source of protein, of omega-3 fatty acids, which are otherwise relatively scarce in the diet. It helps protect our hearts, as opposed to what we've just learned about meat. It helps prevent Alzheimer's dementia, which is something none of us want to have happen.
And when you go to eat out, it seems like some of these portions are huge.
So thank you. That's another great important message, which is portion size. And so, you know, think about if you are served a huge portion of something, just actually cutting it in half and deciding that you're going to take half of it home and have it for lunch the next day or dinner the next evening, and in that way, moderate the portion size yourself.
Or share an entree.
Or share an entree, something I love to do with friends.
Victoria Mazes, thank you very much. I want to give another plug, very deserved, to you for your April 25th appearance at the UA Bookstore, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll be appearing with two other physicians, is that what?
Yes, Dr. David Armstrong and Dr. Chuck Raison.
All right, and that will be at the UA Bookstore, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the title of your talk, again, is Beyond Organics.
Correct.
All right, thank you, Dr. Mazes.
Thanks for having me.
See you next month.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Supporters of tougher gun control laws have won a key vote in the Senate today. Conservatives were defeated in a bid to block the gun law proposals from coming to the floor for a debate and ultimately a vote. A lawyer for a man accused of stabbing more than a dozen people at a Houston area college this week says that his client, 20-year-old Dylan Quick, has been placed on a suicide watch. At least one death is blamed on a strong spring storm system that's brought everything from tornadoes to ice and snow to much of the Midwest and parts of the Southeast as well. The Mississippi Emergency Management Agency says one person has died, several others injured, after a suspected tornado in Kemper County. Wall Street, the Dow up 59 points. The NASDAQ is ahead, too. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. It's 12:35 now on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of Buckmaster is presented by the City of Benson, preparing for their 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park. It's the weekend of April 26, 27, and 28. It will be at Lions Park. There'll be day camping available. Benson is only 45 minutes east of Tucson and I-10. Benson, the gateway to the San Pedro Valley. And if you love bluegrass, they've got a great musical lineup, including Jody Adams and the String Dudes from Colorado Springs will be performing. There's a whole list. You can check out the complete schedule for the Benson Bluegrass in the Park by visiting the website BensonVisitorCenter.com. And again, the event is the weekend of April the 26th. And speaking of events, the City of Tucson preparing for the 19th annual Tucson Earth Day Festival and 4th annual Water Festival. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Flo Wooters, the Earth Day Festival organizer. Flo, how are you?
I am fine, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about this year's festival.
Well, it's similar to what we've done always in the past, and we have exhibitors come in from all different vendors and venues, promoting their way to help conserve and every form of greenery in order to keep our earth the way it is we like it for the future and for now.
And what is your involvement with the festival?
I started out just coordinating the whole thing. I was this year a co-chair. I've been with them about 10 years.
And this year's festival will be Sunday, April the 21st, and this will be at Reed Park, and it will be combined with the Water Festival. What is the Water Festival?
Well, it's the fourth year for the Water Festival, and they do all sorts of water conservation. They have activities that go on in order to help explain to the kids. They will have a mermaid in the wishing well, and different speakers talking about conservation as far as the water is concerned. We live in a desert, so it's really important that we conserve, you know, for the future.
How about this year's parade?
This year's parade is the same as it usually is in the past. We've had to shorten it since we are at Reed Park. We don't have a street that we can close off. But it's a walking parade, and everybody either walks, or we have families and businesses and what have you, and they get prizes. They ride their bikes. They build a float, but everything has to be done with recycled material. They either walk or they have to have human-powered push, pull, what have you, the floats that they make, or have it with alt fuel.
What is SunTrans involvement? I guess they're a partner with you?
Well, not necessarily. They are just one of our exhibitors. In fact, I work for SunTrans, and we have had a bus in the festival for the last, 15, 16 years, longer than what I've been coordinating it. And it's always one of our CNG buses, or we have newer buses coming online. We may have one of those. But bus that we usually put in there is all decorated with greenery and conservation ideas.
This year, do you have a farmer's market?
Yes, we do. So far, we only have two farmer's markets in, and it's difficult to get them to come over because they are always contracted somewhere else.
But you'd like to, if there's some farmers market people who would like to take part, it's not too late?
No, we would love to have them.
And there'll be a wide variety of topics, including water conservation, water quality, air quality, household hazardous wastes, habitat conservation, alternate fuels, sustainability, and other eco topics. What do you have that might appeal to the kids this year?
We request that all of our exhibitors have a hands-on learning tool or giveaway or what have you that brings it down to the kids' level so that they can understand it. And a lot of times the parents appreciate that because it makes sense to them as well. Sometimes when you talk in more technical terms, you know, they don't understand it either. So we have fun and activities for kids of all ages.
As I recall, Earth Day started, was it in the 70s?
Yes, it started in the 70s in San Francisco.
And what was the point? What was the whole idea of getting it, getting Earth Day started?
Well, because there's so much pollution in your larger cities, and air pollution and water pollution with a lot of the industries and what have you. We just need to think forward, and everybody thinks that, you know, on an individual basis that you're going to live forever and that our planet is going to be here forever, but it isn't if we don't take care of it.
Flo Wooters is with us. She's talking about the Earth Day Festival. It's the 19th annual Tucson Earth Day Festival and the 4th annual Water Festival. The two events will be combined. The events are from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Reed Park off Country Club north of 22nd Street. The parade starts at 10 a.m. And this year there is an art show. Tell us about that.
The art show is put on by the Water Festival or Tucson Arts Brigade, which subsidizes the Water Festival. And they have people that artists, local artists come in and do art concerning all the different ways that you can conserve air, water, and everything else.
And for the kids, again, there'll be a model solar race. That's kind of fun.
Yes.
The kids are going to build. These are open to middle school students to show off their design and construction skills with basically a race car that runs on the power of the sun.
Yes, and the kids always watch. I have made fun of that. They watch the news weather report and hope that the sun shines every day. Because if it doesn't, they can't charge their batteries.
Yeah,
well, the race is held right there, and the kids love it, and they get awards for it.
Hopefully there'll be plenty of sun for the event. And for those that would like to go out and walk, you've got a little three-mile walk for water.
Yes, and they do that. The Water Festival is in charge of that, and they do that because in the third world countries, you have to walk 3 miles in order to get water.
That's true. Well, Flo, thank you very much for sharing this information with us, and we wanted to bring this information to the attention of our listeners in case they would like to attend at Reed Park on April 21st. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Coming up now at, looks like we're approaching 12:43 on this Thursday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. A reminder, tomorrow's guest will be talking about downtown Tucson with Michael Keith. Michael is the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. He will be our Friday focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
They always go above and beyond to make sure everything is just perfect.
Nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
They maintain high standards and deliver five-star service.
Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Their selection is amazing, their advice terrific, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:47. Want to recommend, if you're looking for a great weekend, and who isn't, when things start to really warm up here in Southern Arizona, some of these very hot weekends ahead, think about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. You know, the elevation over in Silver City is a mile high, and up when you get up to Pinos Altos, that's about 7,000 feet, which is like 10 minutes north of Silver City. You talk about beautiful country, that Gila National Wilderness, and the world famous, of course, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is north of Silver City. It is a great outing for a weekend. Many wonderful places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, Wildwood Retreat, and Hot Springs. I've sent a lot of my listeners over to Silver City, and every one of them comes back and says they had a fabulous weekend, or even longer, extended it into a week. You can find out more about Silver City in Grant County by visiting their fine website at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, the TUSD Governing Board has selected an external firm to conduct its search for the district's next superintendent. The board voted 4-0 to award a contract to ProAct Search. The contract amount has not yet been finalized. And joining us now to talk about searches for top education officials, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, associate professor emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctor level. The former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, Dr. Hendricks, was named Arizona's top superintendent of schools in 1989. He has conducted many searches, so it's interesting to get your input. Bob, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Good to see you, Bill.
So they've decided to go with this firm, ProAct. Is this a group that you know something about?
It's a good firm. It's a consortium of some very high level, well thought of professionals who recruit superintendents. And there's about five firms that I would consider in the country that have a national reputation, that have the networking to recruit someone from a broader perspective than simply looking from someone in state.
Is this just part of the education business, your business these days, where superintendents really are not long term? I mean, you look at the case with TUSD, there have been every 2 years over a 10-year period a new superintendent. Sunnyside, the area's second largest school district, the superintendent there is moving on after a couple of years. Is this part of life in the educational life these days?
Sadly, I think it is, you know, part of the times. The superintendency is a real pressure cooker job. It's a lonely job, and I think there is there's always an opportunity that a person in that job sees to perhaps move on, and it is difficult. And there are a number of challenges. I noticed that the board has indicated that there's concern about the timing. And that is a legitimate concern. We are in the high season right now of recruitment.
Because districts want to get their superintendent in place before the start of school in August or September.
Correct. So if you look at the postings throughout the country, there are a lot of high profile positions that are open with some excellent districts, and so that's going to be a challenge. But I think there's some other challenges too, Bill, and these are ones that maybe are not just unique to TUSD, but ones that I think any search firm and board has to consider. And one is that the talent pool is somewhat meager. It's not as large as one would think. And when I say talent pool, that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of people out there that might be interested in the job or think they might be the right fit. But when you really distill, you know, who are the highly qualified, experienced people out there that can do this job and do it competently, it's not a very, very large cadre of people.
Dr. Stegeman of the TUSD Governing Board was on the show yesterday, and he said already he's getting emails from all over the country, people wondering about the job.
I'll bet he is, and that, you know, that's been my experience too. But again, when you take those numbers and look behind the curtain, you know, there are going to be some very highly qualified people, but there are going to be a much, much larger number of people who don't have those qualifications. Another issue, I think, is pension portability. There is some concern, I think, of candidates who are not working in Arizona that they're going to have to move into a state where they have to establish a new pension program, which is a very important benefit if one's looking towards retirement. And so the lack of portability of pension is a factor. Also, And I don't think people are going to want to believe this, but the facts are quite accurate that the salary is going to be an issue.
Really?
For the size of the district that we're looking at here, if you compare it end-to-end with comparable size districts around the country, we're going to find that the salary that TUSD is willing to offer is going to be somewhat mid-range. It's not a salary that's going to be hit out of the ballpark.
So it may seem like a lot of money, $200,000 or $300,000 to people here in town, but in the business, it's like a top football coach, a head football coach, or something.
Right. No doubt, it is a lot of money, and it seems like almost a glaring a number.
Yeah.
But the reality is, when you look at the competition in the field, it's not as high a number as it probably should be to attract the top candidates.
What kind of people are attracted to these searches? What kind of people apply?
Well, I really kind of classify them in three groups of people. One I call the carpetbaggers, and these are basically people who do, in fact, have a reputation of moving from district to district. They spend a couple years one place. We sort of joke about them that they always keep one suitcase packed in the trunk of their car. They don't stay very long. The philosophy is hit the district hard with a couple really big ideas and then leave them. And unfortunately, sometimes the districts are left in turmoil.
So a couple of years, then hit the highway.
Right. The second group I call the escape artists, and those are basically people who are on the run or have one foot out the door from the district that they're working in, either because of disenchantment, board's disenchantment with them, or their disenchantment with the board, or other issues that might even be of a more serious matter. But they want out, and they're looking in with some degree of desperation to find a job elsewhere. And then the third group I call the looky-loos, and these are people who apply for every job. And these could be also very high-profile people who basically use
There's interest perhaps at TUSD in this candidate, they could then take it to their school board.
Exactly.
And say, there's a Tucson, Arizona, they're interested in me. Well, we don't want you to leave.
Yes, they
parlay into it. Here's another $100,000. Stay with us.
And Bill, you know what? It works. It works. And so you have to be very, very careful with that kind of candidate. You also have to be sure that the candidate is genuinely interested, so that they're not bringing you along, stringing the board along up to the throes of being, one of the finalists, and then depart, say, I'm not interested. Happens all the time.
Let's go back to category two. These are the people that are kind of on the run. You really have to check these people's past, right?
You do. And I think it's wonderful. I think search firms are great. As I said, I've been part of that experience. But I think at the local level, you really do have to exercise due diligence. And, case in point is the first search at Pima Community College.
Yeah, one of the finalists at Pima. Yeah.
It is unconscionable to me at this point to think that, in this age of electronic communications, that you can't really do a very thorough job vetting the candidates. Give the candidates a headline test. And, there are – every candidate is going to have their detractors and their supporters. But listen to the detractors as well, because there may be a kernel of truth in what they're saying. And if it's going to be a good fit for the district, you've got to make sure you know the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Michelle Rhee, is she available?
Well, she probably would be, but the notoriety or the challenges. I think she'd want more assurance of success. And TUSD has, I think, done some remarkable things in the last few years, and but they're still dealing with some issues of perception. And so that's another thing that I think candidates are going to look at and should look at is, what are the assets and liabilities of the job? You know, what is the relationship, the past relationship with the board and superintendents? I mean, past performance is really the best predictor of future performance. Yeah. So we can look at the candidate and ask those questions, but we also need to look at the employer and ask those questions as well. Where is that fit going to be? And hopefully it's going to be a harmonious one. And I think it's going to take a while to find the right person, the right fit.
Let's hope they do. Dr. Robert Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, an area that he knows a lot about, and we are very happy to have his expertise. Have a great day. Thanks.
Great.
A lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show. All of our in-studio guests enjoy Culligan water, and why wouldn't they? It just simply tastes better. We always highly recommend Culligan water. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow. State Senator Steve Farley will be one of the featured guests. Also, a preview of the Arizona International Film Festival and a preview of the home opener tomorrow night at Keno Stadium for the Tucson Padres. Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. And, of course, this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show. John, the Dean of Local Talk, he'll be here from 3 to 5 on KVOI. And again, tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview about downtown Tucson with Michael Keith of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.